I think we're back, are we? I couldn't tell. I had the headset off as I was saying goodbye to Joe. I think we are back. Let me get Tom Law. Sorry about that. And right, Case? Is that? Yeah. All right. That was badly executed. Sorry. Let me. Well, first, okay, because at first, yeah, at first I looked to see if the connection had dropped. All right, let's see if Tom Law is still even willing to visit. He's been waiting. He's been waiting 30 minutes. So, but he answered the phone. So I guess.
I lost my number.
Yeah, you.
My last appearance, I thought that mic dropped. Maybe
that's a good point. Actually, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, good. Yeah. All right. Well.
I don't need to relive it. I've dealt with it a lot.
Exactly. Well, we will utilize the visit to look at look at the action, because the 3-year-old other than the consternation from some quarters about a horse like Nisos not being able to point toward Derby. Other than that, you can tell people are starting to focus in, and with each passing weekend, and now that we know what's happening in Santa Anita, that's good. Talk about what your impressions have been, Tom, and up till going into this important weekend with Fountain and Gotham, and the Battaglia is getting sort of forgotten about in the scheme of things, but there's the Battaglia as well, and now we've got the Santa Anita
on Sunday,
San Felipe.
I heard you guys talking with those guys, and I hadn't realized that there wasn't, you brought up the point that there wasn't any stakes at all for Sunday, so pretty cool that they'll have that card all to themselves. Yeah. So, looking forward to that card, and the Battaglia, you can get down on a little synthetic at 8:25 on Saturday night. So, get yourself ready. I mean, get your betting accounts fueled up, because there's a lot of good action for sure. It's been a pretty good Triple Crown trail so far. I mean, now is really when it starts getting kind of serious, and everybody starts really thinking about it seriously too, kind of going through my own personal travel plans and just kind of trying to figure things out. I don't have anybody that I'm totally leaning on right now for the Derby, but I like to see. I'm a New Yorker, I guess, so I always sort of root for the horses that have done well at Saratoga or on the Naira circuit. So it was nice to see Timberlake win last weekend, the Rebel last weekend. Yeah. As advertised, I remember talking to him about him with Brad Cox last summer in Fazy Tipton stable tour that we do. And he was a horse that he was high on, all the way back then, as sometimes those real quality colts are. I brought him for the hopeful, and he was second in there, and has come back and done well since. Obviously won the Champagne, always give a little props to the Champagne. Still a good race, always been a great race. And then Chad Brown's horse, Sierra Leone, went in the Risen Star. Of course, he's a horse. Talk about horses that have touted themselves. He was the sales topper at Saratoga. I know the guys at Fazig were excited about that for sure. I like listening to have Joe Orsino on. I need more Red Bullet next time. I was glad to hear you tout that. But speaking of Stronach and those guys, the Ghost Stepper that won last weekend at Sunland, we'll have to see what that race produces. But he's a horse that's been doing well for Phil D'Amato.
Stronghold.
Stronghold. Sorry, yeah. Second in the Los Alfa Turdy, came back off of about a 2 month break to win the Summit Park Derby last weekend. So things are starting to come together. You know, everybody's going to start angling for points. The racing's going to be great, you know, with this weekend with the big preps, and then next weekend's the Tampa Bay Derby. So we'll have a pretty good picture about what things are going to look like going into those last round of preps, you know, Florida Derby and Arkansas Derby, Wood Memorial Bluegrass, those races. And then it'll shake things up, I guess, a little bit more coming into that. So, but, you know, it's a good one. You know, two good races this week, this Saturday, that you mentioned earlier on the dirt with the Gotham and the Fountain of Youth down there. Are you down? You're down at Gulfstream. You said,
I am.
Right?
I am at Gulfstream, yeah.
Nice. Well, you missed the massive wind storms here in Saratoga, and I'm in Vermont today. I feel like the house is going to blow over, but it's good to be in Florida for sure. Congrats.
Thank you. And we'll be at Tampa next week. Talk a little bit. Let's get into this. I'm going to pull out. Mm-hmm. Let me pull out the Gotham and. And where is my? There's my Gulfstream down on the floor.
Let me pull the Gotham. I'm glad I like the Gotham back at the 1 mile, you know, the one turn mile, you know, old school Gotham fans, I guess, kind of like it that way. You know, it's a neat race. I mean, you got a lot of different angles. You got horses coming in from all over the place. And you have a horse like El Grandio from Linda Rice, who's turned into like a throwback. Talk about horses that don't race that much anymore. He's the contrary to that. Barry Schwartz, homebred, New York bred, you know, just got beat last time in the Withers. And they say, let's go. We're coming right back and running in the Gotham. We're going to shorten up from a mile and eighth to a mile. I usually like that angle. He's a horse that's done well at Aqueduct. He likes Aqueduct. But he's going to have to, you know, handle some pretty decent colts. You know, Brad Cox is sending out Just a Touch, who's a maiden winner on the slot. A Justify. So I guess now we all got to look at the Justifies as along with the Curlins and the Gun Runners, I suppose. And then Brad also is going to run Lightline, City of Light. Colt, who was third in the Withers, he's also going to cut back. And then Brad's got Bergen as well. He's a horse that won the Jimmy Winkfield, which is a sprint, you know, a little six furlong race at the end of January. And then Air Cav, who was also in the Jimmy Winkfield. So, you know, Brad's doing his impersonation of the Nick Zito Kentucky Derby that year when he ran like five, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And then you got like shippers, you know, always got to factor in guys like John Sadler, Ship East, you know, maybe some of it's to avoid some of those burners out there in California, but he's going to run Slider, who's a horse that ran on the grass, sprinting on the grass, did it seem to do some good work, but also was a, you know, maiden winner at Del Mar on the dirt and ran a pretty good third last time in the San Vicente behind a nice horse in Moose. So along with Doug O'Neill, a horse that they just picked up, Facenda, a violence colt, who was, you know, a maiden winner at Turf Paradise. So that's the Gotham. I mean, I probably didn't even mention the winner.
Well, no, I mean, personally, for me, you know, Just a Touch is way the horse to beat. But the horses that have surprised me, and I, the Figs came out last night from Thoroughgraph. I don't know if I'll have time to bring it up with Jeff Franklin, but the two Christophe Clement runners that have, you know, people have been kind of waiting for. Deterministic makes the 3-year-old debut here. Here's Vinny Viola with some partners, and including Steve Dunker and Capital Idea from the Reeves, who absolutely aired to break the maiden at the end of January, on a sealed sloppy Aqueduct strip. And you know, this has been the case with, you know, at this time of year, there's a lot of wet track success that you then have to, you know, you have to use as a, you know, as a decision point and interpret it. And Just a Touch, also a winner, be it at Fairgrounds. on the slop. So you know, there's a lot of that going on, as it were. And I was surprised, particularly by Capital Idea. Capital Idea ran a fig that makes him competitive here, and then some. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do it right on the lead. He attended the pace, mm-hmm. but that was impressive. It seems like it was more than slop aided, to say the least. And it came from inside. It came from from the rail. So Capital
Going
Idea.
Like that.
Yeah, surprised me in there. Talk about, let's shift over to the Fountain. And, you know, this is the third week in a row, or actually not in a row, but this is the third major three-year-old seasonal debut that we're dealing with. And, of course, Fierceness, you know, was shockingly bad. And then, you know, we got to Timberlake, and he came through, not flashy, mm-hmm. but he was efficient and professional.
Yep.
Now here's Locked. And you got, again, you have to, you know, you got a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a referendum on his return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, out of the Breeders' Cup, you also have the return of Dornock as well. You know, not so long of a return, I guess.
He
won the Remsen in early December, but he comes back as well. But yeah, Locked, missed the race, right? At Tampa.
Yep.
But comes right back. Didn't miss much time really at all. Yeah, anxious to see how he does in here. You know, he was obviously third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. You know, Todd is always on the trail, and nice horse. You know, favorite in the Breeders' Cup. Not the greatest of trips in the world, but he comes back in here. You know, draws outside. You know, so it's always the concern there at Gulfstream. For sure, drawing outside, and then the two. It's funny, the two from the Pegasus Day maiden race are in here, right?
Yes.
Speakeasy and Victory Avenue. You know, Victory Avenue, the New York bred for the same guys that won the Derby last year, Gustavo Delgado and that crew, and then Todd with Speakeasy from the rail. Nice race. I mean, good. Anxious to see, like we said, how Locked and Dornock also do coming back. You know, I mean, Dornock was pretty gritty and salty in the Remsen to win another one on a muddy track. Seems like everything is muddy track lately, but thankfully we haven't had a lot of rain up north for me. But
there is in addition to the news earlier that Speakeasy was going to contest this race rather than
the, run. Yep.
He's running. But at the same time, you can take out Merritt. Safi Joseph saying they're basically flip-flopping. He said with Speakeasy in here, he is going to prefer to run Merritt tomorrow in that seventh. So take Merritt out of your Fountain of Youth.
Yeah, I did see that.
That does move live. Notably, it moves Locked. Will leave from the seven gate wearing the eight. So I'm not worried about. I mean,
it's not too bad.
I wouldn't worry.
Not
about
a huge
that.
Field,
no.
For sure. Not like a 12 horse or 14 horse mile and eighth kind of race that they run there. So you're way out there.
Well, are you going to handicap the card for This Is Horse Racing?
Yeah, so Sean and I have kind of really revved up our what we call the Saturday special. We're trying to put out some content on a weekly basis that kind of will lead us all the way into, you know, the spring and the spring classics, and we'll do handicapping every week. So we'll have we're going to have the Saratoga special guys out there handicapping. We started last week, Rebel Day, so we had Chapazian, of course. I gotta look at the results. We're not looking at the results as much, I guess, as if we're not tallying it for Saratoga on a daily basis. But so the whole team is will have full card handicapping on all, like, the, you know, it was hard this weekend because there's so many good cards on a single day. But so we'll have handicapping like every Saturday leading up, you know, right up until the Triple Crown, and then we're gonna try to blast out an email that is kind of like maybe looks like. doesn't quite look like the Saratoga Special would in print, but we're going to call it the Saturday Special. It'll have a lot of links and, you know, but to some unique, hopefully unique and good content on our website. And we got a couple other little bits of news that kind of came out this week. You know, we made it official. You and I I've teased it on here before. I think Joe has teased it on here before that we're going to roll out some editions of the special during the Belmont Festival at Saratoga. So we're going to have, it's going to look just like the Saratoga Special that most people have come to expect. So we'll have all 4 days of the festival in print and digital. So we'll have digital, you know, you can get it everywhere. Get it on our website, thisishorseracing.com, and then in print, of course, all over town. I've lined up our paper distribution guys all over town and at the track, front side, back side. So we're pretty excited for that. Excellent. And then, we just started. I just put up a note this morning.
I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you about this.
Yeah, so we're every year we assemble a team, you know, editorial team. You know, some people call them interns. It's not really an intern. It is an internship, I guess. You know, we typically will have, you know, college age students that kind of help us on our squad, doing writing, but we've also added, a photographer / sort of multimedia creator, intern position for this year. So we know that there's a lot of people out there that have an interest, in photography, and visual type stuff. And we kind of need some help, you know, like we're 50 something dudes and we could use some help with some multimedia projects. We launched a podcast last year and, we hope to keep that going. And, you know, we have social media channels as well, like most people do. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that have an interest in that. You know, if we have people shooting video or taking photos, it's a great opportunity to get some experience. Along with the writing positions, you know, we normally have a few writing positions every year. You know, those people get to cover the races, you know, day in and day out, full card, morning training, afternoon racing. It's a really great opportunity. So if you go on our website, thisishorseracing.com, there's a story right on top. Basically, it says work at the Saratoga Special. There's also a link in our about section. We put up a new page that's like a careers page, and we got some really awesome testimonials in there from past members of our editorial team, all the way from like Quint Kesenick and Travis Stone from the early days, you know, right up until, you know, Mary Eddy and Ryan Martin and some of the people that have kind of worked under me. Right up until, all the way through. So they had a lot of cool things to say about their experience at the special, you know, which we like to think is a great thing for young people. I always say, if you could be interested in, are you interested in racing? Then we're probably a good starting spot for you. If you're interested in journalism, we're definitely a good starting spot for you. If you're interested in racing journalism, perfect. You know, I mean,
right.
we don't get a ton of those these days, but we there still are a lot of them out there. And then, then we're the place for you for that too. So, but I know a lot of people that have worked for us have gone on into careers in racing that have nothing to do with journalism or writing. And, you know, it's great exposure. Get to meet a lot of people. There's no running for coffee and things like that. Unless I happen to do it the day before, then maybe you might have to help me get coffee the next day. But, it's not one of those kind of gigs. You know, it's not like you're sorting papers or filing papers and all this other stuff. So, you know, you're doing everything that we do, covering races and writing previews, writing recaps, writing feature stories, you know, talking to jockeys, trainers, owners, people involved in racing. And this year is kind of a unique opportunity because if it's a college age student, maybe happens to be local in the Saratoga area, or maybe you have some connections to the Saratoga area, you have a place to stay, even better, but you'll get the chance to maybe work on the team that covers the Belmont there in Saratoga. So, a little like, you know, pre-meet sort of training ground. Nothing like no pressure on the on a Triple Crown race to kind of get your feet wet, right? But it should be fun. Yeah, so we're excited. Those two things, we got those out right here at the end of February. getting ready for March, and we're ready to get it rolling.
Excellent. Let everybody know again, Tom, because I'm sure there's parents listening as well that are when the kids come home from school, they're going to remind them, tell them again what they have to do.
Yeah, so if you go, like, the first step, go on our website, go to thisishorseracing.com, and you'll find a link. There's a story right on the top of the page today that says Work to Saratoga Special, but there's also a button under our About section, which is for careers. Go on there, has all the instructions in there. Basically, you're going to, you know, get a resume, cover letter, some work samples, send them to me. We usually typically do the accepting of the applications for a couple weeks, start doing some interviews in person or remote Zoom type interviews in March sometime, and try to have the team kind of in place by the spring. You mentioned there might be some parents listening that may have a kid that's interested, or maybe you have a neighbor or a friend or a relative that has an interest in journalism or racing, and maybe this is the opportunity for them. Quite often, that's how we get a lot of our people, is just word of mouth. You know, we advertise these positions every year, and we get applicants this way, but we also get them kind of word of mouth. We already have a young man already lined up to work for us, two actually, one from last year and one that's going to be new. So, but we still have spots available. There's still time. But act now. And
operators are literally standing by.
Operators are standing by. Yes, I'm standing by, right? I'm ready to go. In between finishing up the Horseman's Journal and then getting things going with the special and Mid-Atlantic Thoroughbred and everything else that we're doing. And honestly, the interns that work for us in the special actually have had opportunities to kind of do things for those publications as well. So a real good chance to, you know, get some work samples, get some real life work experience. And you get to work with Sean, Joe, and myself all summer and learn about really just how crazy we really are.
Yeah. I love it. Tom Law, everybody, Saratoga TL, and the opportunity for internship work at the Saratoga Special and on thisishorseracing.com. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
All right, we'll catch up, and I'll see you on the road soon. Talk in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. And I will say the best thing about the internship is that actually it's a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun. I'll see you down the road. We'll catch up.
And just remember, interns, do not walk away with Sean Clancy's keys. And that is the worst thing that an intern can do. And I did it, and I wasn't even an intern.
Definitely, Tom, yes.
I appreciate it.
All right, my man. I will talk to you soon.
You got it. Tom Law, everybody. And this is horseracing.com. And the big Saturday, these big Saturdays are your opportunity. Going to have an opportunity to visit with David Aragona and do a little Derby watch and get some little Gotham advance and see David dives into the PPs. I'm also just trying to figure out about getting Jeff. We might have to get Jeff Franklin in at the end of the visit, the end of the morning here. But chance to talk to David Aragona and pair up the Derby Watch duo. Brad Free, of course, started us this morning. David, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
This is an overdue pleasure.
Yeah, happy to be on your show.
Well, lots to consider. And, of course, the Derby Watch, kind of all morning, and I'm down at Gulfstream getting ready for Fountain. Then out came this Gulfstream, out came this Gotham card for Saturday. It's terrific. There's some things to dissect about where we are already. How about a Derby Watch overview and your thoughts, going into March?
Yeah, it's my second year doing it with Brad, and it's been an interesting exercise. It's kind of a very different situation to last year, where it felt like at around this time we had a little more clarity on the trail. I mean, Forte was sort of the clear favorite, and even Arabian Knight, who I think just before he went to the sidelines, they were sort of the confirmed two leaders of the division. This year it just seems way more wide open, and nobody has run a particularly fast speed figure yet, and there have been some impressive performances along the way. I mean, Sierra Leone and the Rising Star, and you know, Timberlake doing his job last week in the Rebel, but nobody has really moved up that upper echelon to establish themselves as the clear leader of the division, especially with Nysos being ineligible for the Kentucky Derby. It just seems very open at this stage, and hopefully we're going to get some real answers this weekend.
Well, as we get to this juncture, look back for a second, David, and I know you were impressed with Sierra Leone's effort in New Orleans. He's going to move on to Bluegrass. There's potential to meet up with Timberlake, actually, which would be a fairly heady confrontation ahead of even getting to Louisville. Give us a thumbnail sketch of the horses you're most impressed with, and they don't necessarily obviously have to be those that have won already.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Sierra Leone, you obviously had to like what he did in the Risen Star against what, up until this point, has been the most loaded field of prep field that we've seen so far. There were horses that had really accomplished some things coming into that race, and he was able to pass that test, overcoming a less than ideal trip, closing into a pace that didn't set up for him perfectly. Unlike in the Remsen, where he really did get a strong pace set up, but still put in that strong run from far back, and you had to like that he was able to sit a little bit closer to the pace in the Risen Star. So he's doing everything right at this stage. It's just he's one of the horses in that mix that hasn't really run a fast speed figure yet, so you're waiting to see him take that step forward next time. But I really like what I've seen from him so far. And the same for Timberlake. I mean, you know, I think all you want to see these three-year-olds do in their sophomore debut is at least get back to the level they did as a two-year-old when they were as accomplished as Timberlake was. And he did that, and I think he took that big mental step forward, rating as well as he did in the early stages, whereas that was a big problem for him in a few races last year, particularly the Breeders' Cup. So, I mean, they've proven the most at this stage, but I've got my eye on some others. I mean, I'm very interested to see the Fountain of Youth this weekend. I'm a fan of both Dornock and Locked. Even though Dornock was helped by the track in the Remsen, I don't think you can debate that, he overcame a really fast pace that day, and he was so green, and he bumped into the rail. I don't know if it was so much Sierra Leone pulling himself up that day as it was Dornock just being really green in upper stretch and losing momentum before seeing that foe and then coming back at the end. So if he ever puts it all together, we could see him take that big step forward from a speed figure standpoint. And Locke has sort of been the horse that's up and down and not really sure where to place him because of that training setback he had earlier this in the month of February. But I like the workout that I saw from him coming back since he had that fever. And short stretch suits him as well as some others. But, I mean, he showed as much natural talent as anybody last year. So he's very much one that I'm looking forward to seeing getting going this year. And I was also really impressed by the Japanese horse Forever Young last weekend. Brad and I sort of had a little bit of a disagreement when we did our video this week about that horse. But it seemed like he ran what appeared to be a fast race. And he's another one that is supposed to get better with more distance.
Well, and Forever Young was a horse I knew you were really anticipating and looking forward to seeing, and Bookham Dano's effort would win any number of times. And it's funny because at no point before the final 75 yards did it look like Forever Young was going to get up, and until he did.
No, he definitely did something that was wrong in that race, didn't break that well. Yeah. And I mean, it's always kind of an eyesore to American eyes when he's hanging on his left lead throughout the stretch. I know that's not such a big deal in places like Japan, where the turns are a little more gradual and the stretches are longer. But you do want to see the horse have more professional lead changes if he's going to be successful in a race like the Kentucky Derby. But it felt like a fast race. I mean, I don't think you're going to get any reputable speed figure makers to go on a record and assign a number to that race, just because no one's really studying those Saudi Arabia races and how fast the track is playing from one day to the next, or par times and the like. But compared to prior editions of that race and prior Saudi Cup cards, it felt like an extremely fast race relative to the Saudi Cup. And, you know, we saw a similar phenomenon with Dermot Odagake when he won the UAE Derby last year, how that race came up so fast relative to the UAE Derby. And I think we saw subsequently that it kind of made sense that Dermot Odagake would get a very comparable speed figure to Ushbat Tesoro because they've sort of traded decisions recently, and he's a really nice horse. So it seems like a very similar thing with Forever Young, and he's arguably showed even more up until this point than that one.
Touch on the hopefuls that, I don't want to even say stubbed their toe, but, you know, didn't win this most recent try. That includes Track Phantom. And just had Joe Orsino here for a while, and we talked about Hades and his preparation for the Florida Derby. Fierceness is going to have to regroup. Talk about some of the horses that are going to be coming off losses in their next, the penultimate Derby start.
Yeah, I mean, Track Phantom is one of those horses that I wouldn't say he really lost anything in his defeat. He ran well. He just got beaten by a horse that ran better than he did in Sierra Leone. But I mean, I think you have to admire Track Phantom's consistency and how he just runs every 4 weeks and seems to continue to at least maintain his level of performance or take a slight step forward. It's sort of the Steve Asmussen MO to get these horses to make these gradual incremental improvements over time. So he's definitely not a horse I'm writing off yet. And as for the horses coming out of the Holy Bull, for me, that's one of the most difficult prep races to assess because it's a tough race to assign a speed figure to. I mean, due to the pace and, you know, how they don't run that many dirt races, especially around two turns at Gulfstream these days. So it's really hard to know how fast the race really was. And visually, it was just a little weird that Fierceness seemed to be traveling so well and then all of a sudden he was out of horse and under pressure and couldn't finish off those seemingly slow fractions. And I mean, Hades is a horse that had shown potential coming into that race. I mean, he's actually coming out of an allowance win that was another race at Gulfstream. It was tough to make a figure for it. I know it's one that they retrospectively upgraded. So, I mean, he's a horse that still has some things to prove, but it's not unclear that the Holy Bull wasn't a fast race. I just think we need to see more from those horses as they run back.
Well, looking forward to it. The intermediate step, of course, the Fountain of Youth on Saturday, and it actually sets up kind of a follow-up question after we talk about these successful and you know, resume-building types that are already established. We've got a number of, you know, one-start winners, the Speakeasy committed to the race now earlier this morning, Victory Avenue, still a maiden, but obviously, you know, ran into the Speakeasy in that Pegasus undercard maiden group. Among those ilk, who are you impressed with? And we can maybe handicap both the Gotham and Fountain of Youth as an entry, because, you know, Just a Touch, there's another, you know, recent maiden winner that is going to try to take the natural step forward. Talk about some of the horses that are going to be making their stakes debut.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the big difference between the Gotham and the Fountain of Youth is the Gotham doesn't have those horses with established stakes form like Doorknock and Lock. So it arguably is a much bigger ask of those two coming off those fast debut races in Speakeasy and Victory Avenue. I know with Victory Avenue, it worked for the connections last year with Mage, and they're trying to follow the same pattern. Mage might have been that 1 in 100 that could pull off that sort of feat and continue improving despite being asked so much of him in the prep races. We'll see if Victory Avenue is that kind of horse. But just visually watching back that debut race from the Pegasus World Cup undercard, I thought Speakeasy ran the better race. I don't think there's any way to view it differently. And we'll just see which one of them wants to go longer or can handle the step up in class. I guess it's a good sign that Todd Pletcher is deciding to be a little more aggressive with Speakeasy. At some point, you have to find out how good these horses can ultimately be when they show as much promise as a horse like that did on debut. But I think the inclination, at least for somebody like me, is to just give preference to the horses that have already shown the class and run those similar figures as two-year-olds. So I think it's going to be tough for those horses to beat both Doorknock and Lock if they show up. But I'm intrigued to see how that race plays out. And then the Gotham, it's just way more wide open. I mean, I kind of love what the Gotham has turned into. It's a race that just seems to fit the schedules of a lot of trainers that either have a horse that's a little behind schedule or one that they're not really sure wants to go the two turns. And it's just a proving ground for a lot of inexperienced horses who haven't yet achieved those higher levels of performance. And I mean, as for Just the Touch, he was one of four Brad Cox trainees in there. I mean, I loved his debut. How could you not? He just looked like this son of Justify that had this high cruising speed that allowed him to win going six furlongs. But the way he ran through the wire and galloped out, and watching his workouts since then, he feels like the kind of horse that's going to relish more ground. But I'm saying something that I think everybody saw. So he's probably going to be a pretty short price of that race in what is a wide open competitive field. And for somebody like me, it's the kind of race where I want to maybe acknowledge that Just the Touch is the most likely winner. But I think taking a price shorter than like 7-2 on him might be bad value in a race where there are so many horses with a chance. And I want to look elsewhere for some others that could potentially step forward. I'm really intrigued to see what we get from Deterministic coming back off that long layoff for Christophe Clement. It's a really ambitious spot to come back, but he was reportedly working with that horse Pandagate that won the Gander last week in the New York Bred, and that horse took a big step forward. So very interested to see what we get from him. And there are others coming off maiden victories or lesser wins that I think are intriguing in there. Cox's other horse, Bergen, is going to get a bit of a route test going the mile, but I liked his Wingfield, even though he was beating nobody that day. He's a strong finisher. And I'm even a little bit interested in the Todd Pletcher horse in there, Eliminate, who actually was in that same debut race as Deterministic and didn't run that well, but he's been a little slower to come around. I like the visual of his maiden race last time, and he's going to be a much bigger price, but it does feel like that kind of race where you just want to shop around a little bit for a horse that is going to get dismissed on the tote board because there'll be somebody that falls through the cracks.
Well, there's a couple that I'll bring up. You mentioned Christophe with Deterministic, but what about Capital Idea for the Reeves team? And this is a classic Empire, and you know, it seems, David, that we're, you know, immersed literally and figuratively in wet track evaluations and having to then, you know, project whether jump up performances were keyed by the wet track or just that ends up being happenstance. Capital Idea, that looks like a beach ball from a fig standpoint, and a horse that you know, has already won at the distance, won over the track, and gets the open air outside box for Trevor McCarthy.
Yeah, and it seems very likely we could have a wet track on Saturday at Aqueduct. Not that it's going to affect the car too much because it's all dirt racing, but it's yet another prep that could get run over a wet track. So maybe that's not a big deal for Capital Idea, who's already handled it. It's tough to make speed figures at Aqueduct these days when the track speed is sort of yo-yoing from one day to the next. It gets really slow, really fast. You got the rain. And his maiden victory is a speed figure that I think we're still waiting to get some validation for, because we saw one horse come back out of it last weekend, the second place finisher Sardis, and he took a big step backwards to sort of the number he ran on debut. So we still want to get some confirmation for that, but Capital Idea, he's going to be a much better price than Deterministic because he doesn't have that same hype around him. So he's not the kind of horse I'd want to talk anybody off. I thought even his debut race was decent because he was in some traffic that day and finished okay. So he's one that I've got on my radar as a potential horse to include in there.
Well, give everybody a preview in terms of the morning line. What it will be out later today, yes?
Yeah, submitted it just this morning. I made Just a Touch the 5-2 morning line favorite. I've got co-second choices in there at 9-2. Those are Deterministic and Bergen. And then I've got a trio of 8-1 shots. They'll be El Grandeo, Lightline, and Slider. And then further on down would be Capital Idea. I've got double digits, 12-1, and Eliminate 15. And then you've got some much bigger prices towards the inside. But it is the kind of race where I feel like Just a Touch is going to take a lot of money. I know he's a horse that a lot of people are interested in on the Derby Trail. He's going to be getting bet in the Derby Future Wager. I think he was something like 27-1 in the last one that closed. So I think he's going to attract support here. But beyond him, you might get a decent price on most others in this field.
Before we adjourn, I do want to mention Butch Reed, who so impressed with Butch. And, you know, one of the Mid-Atlantic, not every Mid-Atlantic outfit comes to New York and succeeds. Butchie does. And this Maximus Meridius, three sprints, now stretches out and still around one turn. And Butch is just dangerous.
yeah, I think you've always got to respect what he sends into New York. We've been seeing that recently in some of the results of the stakes races through this winter. This is a tough spot for this horse. There are a few horses coming in from parks for the stakes races this weekend, and it just feels like they're all landing in some difficult spots. This one in particular, he's going to have to run faster. He's shown some ability, and the horse that he lost to two back, Frankie's Empire, has turned out to be pretty good. I just didn't love the allowance field he beat last time, and I think we're still waiting to find out how far some of these progeny of Maximus Mischief want to go. They were very precocious two-year-olds, and we'll see if they ultimately do want to stretch out in distance. So maybe we'll get a bit of a read on that with this horse. But drawing the inside is one of the few that wants to show speed in this race. So I'll have to work on a trip somehow.
Jody's Pride in the Busher?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of an interesting spot to see how she comes back out of that Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. I know a lot of people have knocked that Juvenile Fillies from last year because it just didn't come back particularly fast from a speed figure standpoint, but it's not like there are that many three-year-old fillies out there this year that are running fast numbers just yet, outside of maybe a couple of them. So Jody's Pride could easily take a step forward. I'm sort of interested to see what we get from her because she sort of had that weird trajectory as a two-year-old where they entered on the turf twice and got rained off two times and were sort of forced to find out that she was a dirt horse, and she turned out to be pretty good on the dirt. Jorge Abreu, he really doesn't have very good numbers coming off layoffs, so we'll see if that matters for a horse like this. I know they did something similar with Venti Valentine a few years ago. But Jody's Pride, she's catching the right kind of field to make her three-year-old debut, and we'll see if she's able to take that speed figure step forward.
Well, Will Walden, a presence on Saturday. He's got Sicilian Princess making her. She's a maiden, a second start in the Busher, and he's back with Maniwa out of the Toboggan, chased Super Chow home there, and the Tom Fool, which leads into the Carter, of course. We got the Stymie. It's a very good Saturday of action at the Big A.
Yeah, it's a really fun day of racing. The entire late pick five sequence is good. It kicks off with race six, which is a 12 horse allowance field. Radio Red, that good New York bred, is probably going to be the favorite in there. But it's going to be a tough sequence to put together, especially ending with the Gotham. So definitely by far the best Aqueduct card of the winter. So really looking forward to it.
Well, I've been looking forward to getting David on with us. David Aragona, everybody. David, I appreciate it. I hope to check in along the way with some Derby Watch and some opinions going forward.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. David Aragona, everybody, and appreciate David making time today. I'm going to get to Jeff Franklin because we can't get Jeff on tomorrow. I checked with him, so he wanted to leave a window. That actually ends up being perfect. So we got 10 minutes to spend with Crafty, and we're going to look at the 13th and 14th here at Gulfstream, the late double, one turf, and the Fountain of Youth. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Yep, hold on.
Thanks for having me on.
No, it was important to get you on so that we could offer some people thoughts on the Honey Fox and on the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah, this... and I actually have listened to the last hour of the show, and it's so exciting when you hear all this three-year-old talk at this time of year. And I'm reminded of something that Wayne Lucas told me like in 2000 or 2001. He said, you know, Jeff, I won four Kentucky Derbies, and I should have won two other ones. Horses had trouble. He said the one thing that all six of those horses had in common was that they never missed an oat from January 1st to the time they entered the starting gate for the Kentucky Derby. So I always keep that in mind as kind of my frame of reference. And I have to tell you, in these last 20-some years, I think it's failed me once. So, okay, all that said, when we get on to the Fountain of Youth, that'll be in the back of my mind. So
you're not the only person that and I'm glad you pick up that mantle, because Johnny D, forever, Johnny, as a mantra, every single winter spring leading to Derby, nothing can go wrong. Johnny invariably would, abandon ship on any horse that had a hiccup. There's no room for hiccups on this path.
Exactly. And I mean, Wayne went so far to tell me, it's like, Jeff, if I had a horse who coughed for 5 days in March, they didn't win. I'm like, ah, come on, Lane, really? He said, no, I'm telling you. So I don't know, fun to begin to factor that in as we, you know, enter our critical period.
Well, so go with the Fountain of Youth, and then we'll look at the Honey Facts second.
Right. So I don't really have any keen insights here. Now that Speakeasy's decided to run, I mean, we're all so fascinated to see how he'll do. From a Thoroughgraph perspective, just so folks will know, he ran a Thoroughgraph 4 for people who don't have the sheets in front of you. The lower the number, the better. That's a racehorse debut, you know, and that can go anywhere. In order to win the Derby, we're looking at a horse who essentially has got to run about a 0. So you're only looking at about 4 lengths of improvement over the next couple of starts. And so he's going to be fascinated, well drawn in a race where post and trip can mean everything. And there you go. So, you know, Locked, of course, came back running like nobody's business. And I mean, you know, as a 2-year-old, now what does he project as a 3-year-old? That number, frankly, even early in the year, projects to a 0 or a 1 right now. So just on natural development, you know, if he's the same horse that ran just months ago, he's going to run, let's say, a 1, and he's going to win the race unless somebody does something literally magical. And like so many other folks early in the show, I mean, Victory Avenue is intriguing, and his Thoroughgraph index would indicate that the longer the better for him. So we've got at least 3 interesting storylines, and I didn't even talk about Dornick or some of the others.
Agreed. And, you know, Victory Avenue, I think ideally Gustavo Delgado might have preferred, you know, an intermediate step with an allowance. I mean, he might find himself in that no man's land where he could be second or third in here, get the Derby points, get considerable Derby points. And I mean, he could even arrive at potentially, you know, you go to the Fountain of Youth, if he hits the board again, I mean, in the Florida Derby, he could get to Kentucky as a maiden. He's in that, you know, he's in that weird Ethernet scenario. I do want to point out at least 2 horses that surprised me when the figs, when I got my hands on the figs. That was Real Macho from Rowan Crichton, and was told actually that that allowance win was going to propel him into this spot. I mean, he's right in range. In fact, basically the same fig as Victory Avenue. And even Frankie's Empire that came up minutes ago with David Aragona, a 6.5 in that stake win. And the Swale, and Bo Yates is very effective. This I thought was an interesting placement, and a horse is going to be totally overlooked.
Interesting, yeah. And, you know, to put those numbers in perspective, I emailed Jerry earlier, knowing I'd go on the show and 3-year-olds would come up, and I said, just for the heck of it, Jerry, what did Sierra Leone run in Fairgrounds? Because you know, I thought he went maybe 10 wide turning for home. It was a remarkable race. And as you know, I bet him in the Super Book and the Future Book, et cetera. And he only ran a 5.75.
Interesting.
And interesting, right? Visually, to me, it was a 0. So that's why I love Thoroughgraph so much, because it really puts everything in an objective, not a subjective framework. But so those are my thoughts on Fountain of Youth. It'll be a heck of a race to watch.
Let's talk about the Honey Fox, the late double, the 13th. This is the flat mile for the fillies and mares. This is a nicely matched group. It's going to be a lot of pace and trip. And from a fig standpoint, I should check to see about the morning line. A couple of horses caught my eye. 3, 5, 6, 7, actually. I mean, I wrote at the top of my page, that being Be My Sunshine, who broke through with a new top in that stakes placement at Tampa in the Endeavor. And then looking at Walkathon for Ian Wilkes, who's very consistent, five-year-old mare. If she runs her race, she's there. And it kind of feels like Chili Flag for Chad is poised for a breakthrough.
Well, they're all solid choices. And, you know, it's what an interesting race, Steve. I mean, literally, from a Thoreau perspective, you could throw a blanket over eight of these horses, and they're within a length and a half of each other. And so then that comes down to pace and trip and who's training best today. Given that so many of these fillies and mares have had pretty extensive racing, I always ask myself, is there somebody who projects to do something they've never done before and could be overlooked? Really, the only horse in my view that fits that criterion would be Spansive, because she came off a layoff, had a let's say a productive sprint to, well, actually 7.5 furlongs, but first race back. Could she now pop to a 5 off of a 6-week layoff? Well, sure. And what the 5 do? It put her right there with a decent trip. So that's the horse I'm, you know, depending on the morning lines, which I just checked myself and I don't see them available, would be somebody I'd be really interested in. Otherwise, I think you've just nailed all the contenders because they're so doggone close to each other. The weights don't separate them, except Walkathon. You know, it could be carrying, will be carrying 5 pounds more than a couple of the other contenders. That's a minor slap on the wrist for her, but she is coming into the race as the fastest horse from a Thoreau perspective.
The only other horse, and I didn't mention, I said the 5, 6, 7, the 7 for the flag, Jimmy Toner. This one is making a 5-year-old debut, and Thoreau index-wise, another 2 points of potential development for Uncle Mose from 4 to 5. And if she comes back running, she is eligible to be involved. And you know, you might get, you know, a bit of a price. She also, there is some pace in here. Eddie Plisa takes the goggles off of Time Passage, so maybe she won't be as aggressive on the front end. Ancient Peace for Lynch, who continues to be red hot, that's a pace factor. So for the flag, for her to win this, she's going to have to wire for Joe Allen and Jimmy Toner.
Right.
But anyway, be the 3, Be My Sunshine from Safi and Ken Ramsey. She should sit the trip behind whatever speed materializes, and she's my key.
And regrettably, I didn't get a chance to see her last race. Perhaps you did. I know that she had some trouble, but I didn't know. Should I be factoring in 1 length or 3 lengths of trouble? Did you happen to watch it?
I did not.
Darn. Yeah. Okay. I'll do that.
To me, that's a sinkhole. The trip issue mm-hmm. stuff. I see all the time. Oh, he's the trip horse. The trip horse. It's funny. Trip horses have a habit of being trip horses over
trip horses,
and over
yeah.
and over. I don't ooh and ah. I do have to ooh ah and say good morning to Seth Merrow. 2 seconds coming out of here. Jeff, I appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Steve. Good luck, all.
Look who's here. Bingo, bango, bongo. Seth Merrow, you got 10 seconds. Good job hitting the pick four yesterday.
Yeah, well, not much value.
Well, if that horse in the nightcap at 3-1, that pays 200, right? Was the will pay, and you could have had. And I think in the first leg, you could have had a horse.
Yeah, we ran first and second.
It would have been that thing would have paid 500 if both of those. But listen, you're in position, and you're here. You're in South Florida.
I am.
Look, you got a glow already. You've already got that tan.
I have not. I'm going to be working on the glow today, though. Got a little lotion up in my bag upstairs, so I'm ready to roll. And I'm looking forward to it. Speaking of your the shorts,
I went shorts
that's
today.
Crazy.
And
that's
went,
crazy talk
I,
for
I
you.
Put, I put the Tevas on.
Very good.
How about me?
I'm proud of you.
I got to run. This was a full morning. Brad Free and Pat Cummings, Joe Orsino, Tony Black, Hammer and Nate Newby, Tom Law, Crafty Jeff Franklin and David Aragona, and now a Seth Merrow cameo.
Bingo, bango, bongo. Good luck to everybody.
You have time tomorrow for handicapping to sit in, or are you on TV?
Sure, after I'm done. I'm done at 10 o'clock, so I can come in
perfect.
Anytime
beautiful.
After that.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. Yeah. All right. Fantastic. So, it'll be right here. It'll be loose on the lead on the radio.
It's just as good as TV.
Good luck today if you're playing today. Everybody, I wanted to do some Gulfstream Fairgrounds and New York, but I really didn't get a chance. Maybe I'll tweet out some ideas, all right? Talk to you in the morning for Twins Fires Weekend Preview at the races here on Sirius XM Live from Gulfstream Park.
PA Bread, I think we've built a brand at this point.
The state of Pennsylvania has the best breeders program in the entire United States.
Angel of Empire wins the Arkansas Derby and wins it clear.
Caravelle in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint.
Pennsylvania and the PHBA have the best state bred program in the country, bar none. The best Breeders' Awards and Stallion Awards in the country.
We're racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky. Please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.